Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Taylor Mullen.
Hi, everyone. I am a software developer for the ASP.NET team. I've been a software developer for probably just over about 2 years now. It's exciting.
Cool.
And I'm now working on the Razor team. And I'm here today to talk to you all about Tag Helper, something really near and dear to my heart, and really kind of in progress. We just released this in beta 1, and it's kind of something that's really evolving. So get the word out.
So it's out there today.
It's out there today. So if you go to ASP.NET/vnext and install Visual Studio 2015, you will have access to it right there. Just do file new project,
cool.
Use it in MVC. It's fantastic. So I plan to go over a little bit of everything today to kind of really educate everyone on what they are, what they can do, what they're awesome at, what they suck at.
Cool. So for the people that aren't lucky enough to go out and use Visual Studio 2015, is there another installer that you can, like, or did this, like, ship an update for, or do you have to go out and get vNext tools for Visual Studio 2013?
So one of the funny things is with Tag Helpers currently, there's no tooling for it. So I'm simply say Visual Studio because it kind of pulls all the package sources in you for NuGet, so it makes it really easy to use. But if you don't have Visual Studio and you're using something like Sublime and you have all the K materials, all the ASP.NET 5 materials, fantastic, it will just work for you.
Okay, so it's more along the lines of just updating your NuGets instead of actually needing
Tooling. It's a package, so it's part of the Microsoft.ASP.NET.Razor package, and MVC kind of pulls that in as well. So
cool.
It's nice.
Awesome, so just a little bit about Taylor here. Are you the coach or just the organizer of the ASP.NET dodgeball team?
Oh, about that. So every week we love playing dodgeball, and it's been my entire career at Microsoft. It's always been just dodgeball. I played one season, I believe, and hasn't been the same since because I just can't stop going back. It's fantastic. We got in the playoffs this season, so exciting.
Cool. So why would we want to take advantage of Tag Helper?
So Tag Helper solves a really nice problem a problem that existed in kind of legacy Razor, where we gave you HTML helpers, and they were really fantastic for doing things like writing out links that would then link to, say, your controller or your action, or just writing out really nice HTML. The problem with this is it was kind of destructive because you'd be writing C# when ultimately you wanted something that was HTML. So you'd lose all of this editing experience that we built into Visual Studio. So we've done a lot of work on making HTML tooling really good, so you get your CSS classes, you get JavaScript methods, you get kind of everything kind of rolled into one, which you then lost. So that was a really big problem, and HTML helpers kind of helped make that worse. So Tag Helpers are the solution to that, and I'll get into kind of how we fix that with Tag Helpers.
Because one of my most popular blog posts is actually how to go and modify, like, the HTML action link and you know, MVC HTML helpers like that. So basically what you're saying is I'm going to start losing blog traffic.
I think you'll lose a significant amount of blog traffic unless you go ahead and start blogging about Tag Helpers.
That is very true. Maybe I just need to do that.
Yeah, a few people have started blogging about it, and we seem to be getting a lot of traction from the community. It's really exciting. People seem to like it. We like it. And again, it's evolving, so people can kind of help out and where this product is going to go and how it's going to affect the community.
Cool. So I'm guessing you have some examples for us.
I do. So I'm going to jump over here to Visual Studio 2015. And what I've done is I've essentially done File, New Project, ASP.NET Web Application, Starter Web. It's the simple project, but to save time, here it is. And let's take a look at one of the files here. I'm going to look at this login, and here's our classic HTML helpers, kind of everything we have here that we love and we hate.
Yeah.
So if I look, we can see that for something like validation summary, we have to use this really ugly syntax at class, because class is a reserved keyword. This is just one of the really, like, in-depth problems that we solve with Tag Helpers. And label. Well, ultimately, we just want a label. And we can't really do that. So let me show you what a Tag Helper is.
Cool.
So I'm going to add the MVC Tag Helpers, the ones that we give you out of the box, to this project. So I'm going to go ahead and try and install Tag Helpers in our application because we want to use them. We want to get rid of all this kind of unnecessary syntax that prevents us from using nice HTML syntax. So I'm going to go right-click, Manage NuGet Packages. I'll get to see a really nice NuGet dialog. And I'll do a search for microsoft.asp.net.mvc.taghelpers. And once this loads, we'll be able to see the tag helpers package. I'll be able to install it. So I have my nice version. I'll hit install, accept, and there we go. We now have tag helpers in our solution.
I really like the fact that it's no longer a modal dialog.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's been so many times I've been searching for something, and I'm like, oh, I would love to just go back to my project and continue working.
Yep.
Now it's possible. It's really
nice. That's really cool. And the cool thing is, because it's a tab, you can drag that off screen. If you have multiple monitors, you could keep NuGet Package Manager
completely
open all the time
isolated.
If you wanted to.
You could. It's no longer this interruptive being that just kind of sits there. Yep. It's something that I really enjoy in the new world.
Cool.
So close this out for now. I'm not going to use it anymore. And in Project K, or I keep saying that, in ASP.NET 5, I've been used to this for so long now because it's just kind of been under the covers, really working.
Yeah.
We have this new concept of you opt into everything, and tag helpers are no different. So just like everything else, you have to tell the project that you want to use tag helpers. So we added our dependency to our MVC tag helpers. We now need to use them. So it'll be at add tag helper, microsoft.asp.net.mvc.taghelpers.
So, and you're using the assembly name here.
Yes,
so
correct.
So I'm guessing if I was to go and generate my own tag helpers and built out my own assembly, I could just go reference
you
those.
You could, and we'll actually go over that in a little bit.
Cool.
And so if I were to add those, though, I would do at add tag helper, and I would do web application 61, because that is what I'm currently generating as my assembly.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big misconception that we've ran into a little bit is people think it's the namespace, but it's not really that. Because we try to make it so you can really load anything.
Yeah.
It's not really namespace limited.
Yeah, you could technically have a library that you've created outside of your current project for reusable things.
Oh, absolutely.
And pull that in. So it might not necessarily be Web Application 61. It could be whatever you've created in
absolutely.
Some other project or a friend's created.
Yeah, it's there to make life really easy.
Cool.
All right, so we now have our at add tag helper syntax. We can use MVC tag helpers in our page. So let's look at this label tag helper that we have here. We'll go up to this one. So this is kind of ugly. We'll comment this out. And we'll do label for username. Now this username is essentially the username we had before. And here's where the kind of beauty of tag helpers comes through. If I start doing class call MD, I now have this class editing experience that I've had for everything else.
Yeah.
And I now still have that. One of the things tag helpers makes really nice.
Well, that was one of the problems that I had a hard time with when I was doing MVC projects was, you start going into the at class syntax and then there is no IntelliSense.
I know.
And then one little small spelling mistake totally blows away your entire application.
Absolutely. And it's even to the point where if you were to style and say color is equal to something, well, you also have these niceties. It's everything about HTML. We've done a lot of work to really improve the HTML editing experience, and it's really disappointing that you couldn't really do that with HTML helpers.
Cool.
Just for the heck of it, I'll make this red so we can see the difference here.
Okay.
So I'm going to run this application, and I'll go to my login page, and I can kind of we'll be able to see our red label that HTML used to be generating. So I'll go to login, and I see username. And it's red. This is essentially what we were generating before with this line, HTML label 4. We're just now doing it simpler.
Yeah, and I think the big thing to point out here is this label is empty. So it's not actually text that we've typed in. It's inferring that the model has some property called username, and it's pulling the display info for that.
Absolutely. And one thing I do want to note, though, is there is no tooling for tag helpers, as I said previously.
Yeah.
Great example of this is username. So under the covers, what this is doing is it's essentially generating this part of the code for you. And it's placing you right after this dot. So by you typing username, you're just continuing your lambda statement you would normally have. Because we can generate that for you. There's no reason for that. So once editing is kind of improved with tag helpers and this is really baked in, you can imagine this being a window into C# where you get your drop down lists for C#. You get your coloring. You get all your niceties that you would normally have in C#.
Yeah.
So that's pretty convenient.
Cool.
Let's do another one here. So we did the label. We might as well do the text box. So here, I'll comment this guy out. We'll do input for, in this case, we're doing username again. And we'll do class is equal to form control. So That is the tag helper equivalent. Very simple. And again, having all the niceties of your HTML editor. And just to verify that we are actually changing the output of this, I believe you can change the color of the text that is written inside of it. And I type here, I can now see that my text is inside of here. So there is one actually for form. And if I actually inspect this with IE's wonderful editor, I can see style color is equal to red, form is equal to username. So by me doing the for is equal to, that's a tag helper-ish syntax where we added a new attribute to the input and we allowed you to kind of specify a partial of something that we can then derive more information from. Yeah. So yes, in this case, it ended up being form.
Cool.
So really nice stuff. So these are some of the tag helpers. I'm not going to go into all of them, but with MVC, we've added a lot for you to play with. And there's one for form, there's one for validation summary, so much that Damien Edwards on our team, fantastic guy, he actually went out to build an entire starter web sample entirely in tag helpers, removed HTML helpers entirely from it. So if you're interested in that, you can go to, let's see, I will open up a favorite browser here. And we will go to github.com/DamienEdwards/taghelper-starter-web. So if I look up here, it says DamienEdwards/taghelper-starter-web.
Yeah, and we'll get links to that in the show notes below.
So fantastic. Click away. All right, and if you look here, just to kind of show what some of these things look like, I'll go to his views, his account, and then his login, and I can look at exactly what we were doing. So as we see our label for, we see our input username. You know, I'll just pull this aside here, and I'll pull this guy out, just so we can really see the differences here. So if I scroll up here, our form, again, we have a form tag helper. We have a validation summary that targets, it's just an attribute.
That's cool.
There's a lot of nice things here where it kind of strips away the HTML helpers and lets you use what you want to use.
Well, and the brilliance of it is you're actually writing 100% HTML now. There's no more, you know, at signs and squiggly braces and
absolutely
all that kind of stuff. So it really, I mean, this is intimidating if you pass the code off to, you know, someone else that's implementing design or anything along those lines. And it's kind of like, whoa, what are all these things? This, they look at it and they're just like, okay, cool, I got this.
Yep. Yeah. And one of the niceties of that too is for things like label for, or I guess a better example is this input form, and input for is, these guys will show up in your editing experience. So if you were to just start typing a new HTML element here, you will then see these as part of it, as part of the list. And in this case, we already have input, that's fine. But I'll then see things like for on here. Instead of form, I'll see for, and that'd be fantastic. So I'll go ahead and delete this. So these are some of the ones we give you. And you can add microsoft.asp.net.mvc.taghelpers if you want to use the ones we give you. But tag helpers are more than just the ones for MVC. They are a structure for building your own kind of elements. So if you want to build your own, it's fully supported and actually pretty easy. So let's get into that actually. So I'm going to close out my login here. And I'm going to just look through my page real quickly. I'll go to the contact page. Now here, if I were to inspect this element, I see this email. ahrefmail2support@example.com, supported example. Let's say I wanted to make, say, an email tag helper, something to simplify this. I could be a company that I always have the same email domain, and maybe I want to change it. Maybe I want to transition it. Ultimately, all I really need here is support. So let's go back to the editor and see what that might look like. So I'll open up the contact CSHTML and I'll copy these guys so I can see what was there before and after. And here, what if we could just do email and that's it? That'd be pretty nice.
That's really cool.
Yes. So you have to write this. So it's not just there by default. So let's go ahead and write some tag helper magic to make this possible. And this is just showing that you can write this on your own. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. So I'll do add new item class. And we'll call this email tag helper. Now, I want to mention that tag helpers are based off convention. Initially, you can override it with an attribute.
Yep.
But since I have email here, it's going to target the email HTML tag and would then add it to the whole HTML editor for your ability to use. Once again, we have the tooling enabled for it.
Cool.
So to make it a tag helper, all we have to do is just inherit from this tag helper class.
Yep.
Pretty simple. Now, there's two methods on it that make a little bit of sense. So process, that's kind of our synchronous version of you want to do work when you encounter an email tag. Yep. This is your synchronous way to handle that work. Now, process async does the same exact thing, just it's your async entry into doing that if you want to. So we'll do add the process because we don't really need to do anything that nice.
Now I'm gonna break out a very newbie question.
Oh no, what's this?
So I'm going out and doing this. What would be the advantage of using process async over process? Is it if there's lots of code to build out as part of this and you need
So if you want to use process async, it's when you're really trying to make use of your await syntax. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a tag helper, a custom one like email, that maybe reached out to a database and it did something that was very time pending work. Well, you could now do that in your asynchronous version.
Yeah.
One thing that we implemented in VNext is all Razor pages are full async now. So just how you can do anything in asynchronous in Razor page, same thing with the tag helper, trying to keep that consistency across.
Cool. No, that totally makes sense, because I wasn't really thinking along the lines of, I'm going to make a database call to actually fill out some of these elements. So
yes.
that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yes. Cool. So I guess a good example here is maybe I wanted to pull my domain from a database, right? So I could pull it from a database, use the asynchronous version. In this case, we're just going to say that we have a pretty simple thing, and we'll say static string, and I'll say email domain. Let's say our email is mycompany.com.
Cool.
Okay. So now I have tag helper context. Oh, set an equal sign there. So I now have this tag helper context and this tag helper output object. For now, we're just gonna look at this output object.
Cool.
So let's look at what this has on it. We have attributes, content, whether it's self-closing and tag name. So this is essentially, if you've worked with tag builders before, it is your tag builder equivalent, but for tag helpers. It's
cool.
Built primarily for that purpose. And content is our essentially inner HTML.
Yes.
So we have an attribute. So obviously we want to add the href attribute back to our email tag. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be mailed to our output.content. So whatever we provided, and if I move back to this content.cshtml, it's our support in this case, or our marketing. Here we go. So output.content, and then I'm just gonna add the at symbol and then the email domain. Pretty simple. And then lastly, I don't wanna be using an email tag because that wouldn't be, the browser doesn't understand that.
Yep.
So I'll do tag name is equal to A. So I'm now changing from an email tag to an anchor tag, and that's some fun stuff.
Cool.
So next thing, I need to actually modify the content itself, because if we saw in our contact.cshtml it was also support at example.com. So I'll go over here and I'll do output.content is equal to, I'll just copy this guy, put it right there, mm-hmm. and change this to just be output.content. Because I'm now setting the content to be itself at my domain, and then I'm adding that as a mail to.
Cool.
Now, if I run this, it's actually not going to work right away. Two reasons. One, I don't have my add tag helper. So let's add that. This time, I'll add it to my view start because I want my tag helpers to be available in every view. I don't want to have to add those to everything. And that's one of the really nice things of view start is we give you directive inheritance. So as you see here, I have using web application 61, meaning I have that using statement in every single one of my pages. It's no difference with tag helpers.
Cool.
So add tag helper. Web application 61. So using all tag helpers in my application in my project.
Cool.
All right, so over here, this should ideally just work. It's not gonna work just yet. So I'm just gonna run it to show that this isn't gonna work how I think it's going to. And I should get an anchor tag with a mail to blank@mycompany.com. Mm,
that's gonna be tough.
So it's not there yet. And that's a problem. So the reason, and actually we can also see it didn't even touch the content either. Now, the reason why is With tag helpers, you need to say how you want to use the content. We don't know by default how you want to use it. And you do that with an attribute. So we call it content behavior.
Okay.
So content behavior dot, just reinvoke that. Append, modify, prepend, replace. So there's a lot of different things you can do with it.
Yep.
In our case, we want to modify it because this is the only one that allows you to have access to what is inside of you.
Okay.
So in this case, we want to know that our content is support, aka something you want to modify. So we use modify, and the reason why you have to specify it is we'd have to buffer it every single time if you didn't have to, and we don't want to do that. We want to make sure your application's running really nice and quick.
Yeah.
So in this case, there's not a lot inside, so buffering doesn't make much of a difference.
So that's a really good thing to point out, because even though we are replacing the text in the content and all that kind of stuff, in this kind of world, we're modifying the text because we're not full out replacing everything.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because we're actually retrieving it here. Yeah. We're saying, oh, I have my support. And then I'm adding to it, which is, again, modifying it. So yeah, absolutely. Cool. So here, I should now have my content set in both these locations. Mm-hmm. So I'll refresh this because I'm now saying I want to modify. And I should now have a working link just like I had before. So I'll inspect that, and we can already see right here that it worked just as we expected.
Nice.
So this is kind of our first example of using tag helpers in a really simple format to kind of make your lives a little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because it's like the same thing with AngularJS and other JavaScript libraries. They're actually trying to get more domain-specific language out there. So when you're going through and you're looking at all these tags, it's a little bit easier to pick up on what you're actually trying to do because you have, like, this is my email tag, and even though that expands out to something else later, it becomes a lot easier for a developer point of view. Like, I'm just going to go and look at, you know, this tag here, and I can right off the bat go, okay, this is the email, it's got a email to this person, or this is a full contact form, or, you know, any kind of part, and it's really just simplified down to a single tag.
Oh, absolutely. One of the niceties is I've seen a lot of people say that they have separate departments, a back-end department and, say, a front-end department. Well, this enables back-end developers to create really unique HTML elements that can kind of sync up with their application and what they're doing, but ultimately allow the front-end developers to have something really nice and simple to just add it wherever they want to and use the things that they're really familiar with, like class, like style, that to just make it look how they want it to look.
Cool.
So this is a very simple one. We're going to kind of step it up a little bit and do another one here.
I'm excited.
Yes, yes.
I am literally sitting on the edge of the seat I do not have behind me.
Well, let me just sit down here real quickly. I feel like I should be doing like an elevator walk down. All right, so.
All right.
Okay, so if I look at my index page, let's add a debug tag. Let's see what we want it to look like. So first, I'll add a debug tag, and by default, I'd like to have a nice little box. So if I go over here and I hit home, I'm not going to have anything there yet. So if I inspect right above this box, I should have, it doesn't know about it, so it's wrapping everything. But I have a debug tag. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. I want to make this a tag helper. So how do we do that? So again, I'll do add new class. And this time, debug tag helper.
I really like the single responsibility thing you have going on here.
You like it? It's fantastic.
No, it's great.
Yes, yes. All right, so again, we'll inherit from tag helper. And this time, well, actually, before I get into that, let's first make it look so we can see it to make sure it's actually running and doing what we expect it to do. So I'll add a class attribute to it. I'll say I always want this to be a Jumbotron. Jumbotron. Man, nice. Yeah, that's a tongue twister right there for me. All right, now let's add a style. And this time, we'll just say the background color is pink. Sure.
I like where you're going with this.
Yes. So we should see just a nice little box right above here, which represents our debug tag helper. Oh, and there we go. Nothing too simple. And the reason why it's like this is we haven't changed the tag name at all. There's some style to it, but it's not quite there yet. So I'll go back over here, and lastly, I'll just do tag name is equal to div. So we should have a nice have a nice simple box here that looks a lot like this, but just kind of sits above it. So we're starting to get a debug feel. Now, the thing with the debug tag helper is we don't always want it to show up, because it'd be nice just to show up when we wanted it to. So let's add a condition. So it'd be nice if I could do condition something. I guess for now, let's do 1 + 1 = 2. That's sure. You know what? I'll do 3 to make sure. My math is lacking a little bit. I'll say 1 + 1 = definitely 3.
My favorite is like it's very SQL injection.
Yes. Oh man. So how do I get that attribute? That's the kind of the next question, because tag helpers, it's fantastic. I can do process and I can do all this magic in my process method. But I want to also take in information from the HTML. In this case, I want to take in that conditional statement. So I can do bool. Oops, I'll make this a property, sorry. Bool, and I'll say condition. That's as simple as it is. I now have a condition attribute that is on my HTML. Cool. Pretty simple. Now, one thing I want to point out is, actually, I'm going to change this to 2. So that's true. We should see the box.
Yep.
We're not going to, though, and there's a reason behind that.
I have a feeling it has to do with that attribute.
That attribute? Let me think. No.
Really?
Not quite. Mm. No. So if I refresh this page here, if I save it, go back over here, save it. Oh, am I in the middle of it? There we go. If I save this, I refresh the page. I think the reason why is I'm not doing anything with the condition attribute yet.
That is very true. You have the value.
I have the value, but I'm not doing anything with it yet.
Yes.
The nerves. Oh man. So if I look at this, I do want to point out that it's not here though.
Yeah.
So I specified it in my HTML, but it's not here. And that's one of the things is if you specify an attribute that you accept from your HTML, it gets pulled out from the output. So meaning it will not show up in the end result.
That's good, because it might not be valid in HTML.
Exactly. Yeah. But if it's something that you don't specify, like class or style or any of those types of things, it will just flow down through to the output.
So does it actually do validation against these are valid HTML things, we're just going to leave them in there as opposed to not valid, or is it just going to kind of...
Oh, it's really anything. So in HTML5, there's really been this strong push of making HTML really anything. Elements are more of like a class to C#.
Yes.
Than it is like for HTML nowadays with like web components and so forth.
But I mean, like if I'm doing attributes, if I had, say, the condition attribute and I wanted it in my input, technically for valid HTML, it would be data-condition.
I see.
If I wanted to have that output on there. Because then that would be, you know, it'd be one of those things if you're appending, you know, like a display none, but it's still outputting to the HTML, you could have your condition equals true and you'd be like, I see that.
So you don't necessarily, like, you don't get that by default.
Yep.
If I wanted to add that ability though, I could re-add it. So I could do output.attributes. And in this case, I'm gonna use a C#6 feature here, name of condition is equal to, and here I'm gonna use my context object.
Yep.
That attributes, all attributes. And I'll do name of condition again. So context has all of your attributes, because just like I said, we pull attributes out from the output. But I want to know what the user gave me by default, right? So here, this is just an object, because it could be anything. In this case, it's a bool, right? So I need to toString this.
Yeah.
So I'm now taking the original value of the condition. In this case, it's the evaluated form of this, so in this case that is true, and I am putting it back on my attributes list.
Cool.
So if I were to run this, I should now see a condition tag right here, which equals true, because I'm re-adding it to my page. So if I inspect, condition true.
Cool.
So I'm re-adding it to my page. So if you do want to do things like that, the context.all attributes is a great place to look. You can just kind of take in attributes from the output, and take in attributes from your HTML, and then place them back on the output if you want to.
Now, this isn't valid HTML because I still need the data dash. Could
it
I
did.
Put a display property, like a display attribute on the property to modify what that would look like when it's outputted?
Not when it's outputted. If you wanted to do that, you could do either data dash here.
Okay.
Or if you wanted to, you could change how this condition looks entirely via another attribute we have called HTML attribute name.
That's what I was looking for.
And you could do data-condition.
I like that.
Yeah, so that would allow us to modify that behavior.
Cool.
So if our condition is false, well, we don't want to do anything. So I'll say if condition's false, I'm going to return. I don't want to add anything. I don't want to do anything. Actually, better yet, I'm going to make it so I don't generate anything at all. So by setting the tag name to null, I no longer have a tag name. So if I have no tag name, there's no output.
Yep.
So if I refresh this page, our condition should be true because 1 plus 1, again, equals true. And so if we have a false condition, it's just like that. So if I actually invalidate this and I make this 3, this will just work. I do want to bring up one thing, though. What happens if I leave out the attribute altogether? So I have this condition here, and right now it's false. So if I go ahead and run this, nothing will happen. It still will not show up. So what happens if I were to remove that attribute entirely? Any ideas?
Well, I'm going to guess your C-sharp code, so it's still going to be false, because that's what it's going to initialize to. So I'm going to guess it's not going to be there.
Correct. So if I actually refresh this one more time, I will still have nothing there, because it's defaulting to false. So what happens if I want to make the default behavior true?
That's a good question.
So if I go over here to my debug tag helper, I can make this change by simply making this nullable. So by doing it that way, I can do if condition.hasValue, and my condition.value now is false, then it'll run. Now, if I run this right now, it's going to error. And the reason why is I no longer have my condition attribute, which I'm looking up right here. So I'm just going to go ahead and remove this line of code for now, because we expect the default behavior to run.
Yeah.
So again, we have nothing here. So it's just debug. But we still want our box to show up. So just like that, we're now running. We now have our debug box, and it's defaulting to true. So if you happen to be wanting to work with primitives, which have default values, it's actually very common. A great way is just to make them nullable.
That's cool.
It's very easy. All right, so let's add some more things to our debug. How about we add, I don't know, maybe a header. In this case, we'll say, this is the viewBag.title. Getting a little bit more complex here. So as you can see here, I'm intermingling code. And one thing I want to make very clear is that by doing condition is equal to 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, this is essentially C-sharp inside here. Because again, we don't have tooling for this yet. So this, imagine this is a C-sharp window. But the reason why it's C-sharp is because condition is a Boolean value from the tag helper's point of view. Now, this header, I want this to be a string. So I can add that by prop string header. But the problem with the C-sharp string is, how do I specify I want it to be a string? Do I add extra quotes here? I now have to start breaking the world a little bit. It doesn't really work out all that well. So in order to combat this, what we've done is we make it so when you are typing into a string typed tag helper property, you are then just typing into a string literal, as you would. So if you want to escape out, you would just, like you normally would in Razor, you add the at symbol. So you're saying, I no longer want to be a C-sharp string, or just a string. I want to actually use C-sharp. So you can do that here.
Cool.
So I now have this is the viewBag title, and I should have homepage. So over here, let's just go ahead and add that. We'll do output.content is equal to, I don't know, an h2 tag. And we'll put in our output.content slash h2. Now this isn't going to work, right? Do you remember why?
Attribute on top of the tag helper.
Fantastic, yes. We're not saying how we want to use the content.
Yep. I actually pay attention.
Dude, you're fantastic. Fantastic. Now, the problem with this, though, is before we had content inside. We don't need to look at the content inside anymore, so we're going to use one of our other attributes, or one of our other values of our content behavior attribute. So I'll do content behavior, and this time, I really just want to add stuff inside of my body. So I'm going to use the replace, because I just want to add stuff to it, right? I could use append, I could use prepend, it really doesn't matter, but for the sake of argument, I'll just use replace. So here, I should be replacing my content with not output.content, but with the header. So whatever the header I have.
Yep.
So if I refresh this page, I should have a nice little h2myviewbag.title is equal to homepage. This is the viewbag.title. Yep.
Cool.
So just like that, we're starting to add and kind of make our own little custom control. So lastly, let's take in kind of a more complex type. Let's take in the viewbag. So the viewbag happens to be dynamic. Mm-hmm. And we'll just call this data. And we want to, let's say, serialize that data. So I'll add a p tag, and I'll do JSON convert. So I'm using JSON.NET here.
Yep.
That serialize object. And I'll just pass in my data. And I'll add the np tag. Pretty simple. Now I just need to take it in. So here, now this is a kind of re-emphasizing the point of this is C sharp. It's not a string, it's C sharp. Is if I do data, it's viewbag. It's not at viewbag, it's viewbag, because imagine there being a C sharp window there.
Well, I mean, it's kind of redundant to do at viewbag. You could technically do it.
You could. From Razor's perspective, right now, we don't have that support, but it is planned to add that, because we understand people want to have their own at symbols. At symbols is a C sharp term after all.
Yeah.
So eventually.
Cool.
For now.
No, that works.
Yes. So data is equal to viewbag. So we should now, since we're serializing that data, we should just have a nice little JSON object show up here that has everything about our viewbag. Pretty simple debug element.
That's
so
awesome.
We now know how to, just like the email, modify our content, but also set custom attributes and even take in data from those attributes. So kind of building on the whole process here. So we're going to do one last tag helper example, kind of throw it all together and make something really useful. We've been making our own objects here. We're going to something we call augmented element tag helpers, which we're going to make an augmented tag helper that modifies our script tag to make it, I don't know, a superscript tag helper.
Excellent.
Yes. So if I look at my pages here, there's some issues with our script tags. I have this everywhere. So I have it in my register, I have it in my manage, I have it in my login. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the same thing over and over again. So it would be really nice if I could just do, I'll say superscript, and then file pattern is equal to, I don't know, jQuery.validate.star. That would be fantastic.
Yep.
And that would potentially match jQuery validate anything else. So I should get this file and this file. That is our goal. Okay, so I'll comment these guys out since we're going to add this nice tag helper. Do add new project one last time. Do class and I'll do superscript tag helper. Now, one thing you notice is I typed a dash in the name here.
Yep.
So I don't have that yet. It's something that we're considering. Again, this is an in-progress type of project. Mm-hmm. Where we're thinking of maybe making the Pascal case here.
Yep.
Automatically add that dash, but we're not sure. So for now, how you can do that is tag name, superscript.
Okay.
Specify There's, your own.
Yeah, and the, I mean that I think that's perfectly acceptable. But I understand people want clean code, and there's a good way. But here's the best part, is all of you out there have the ability to give feedback to the team. So what you can do is, well, one, there's a user voice forum.
Yes, I believe
and
so.
We'll get the link for that.
Yeah, for tag helpers, not specifically quite yet.
Not specifically, but, you know, they can just enter tag helper in the
Absolutely.
Title, and away we go.
Yep.
Or you could even, right below the video screen here, there's a comment section where you can leave some comments as well, and I'll make sure that Taylor gets all those comments. So it is really up to you to see, do you want to keep the attribute, or should we do Pascal case or something along those lines to make sure that those dashes just automatically.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. We would love your feedback.
Great.
So we have tag name, and then I added another thing, which was our file pattern. Again, Pascal case here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we already mentioned this once, is we can use our HTML attribute name, file dash pattern.
Cool.
Again, using it just like we would. So let's also add a process method. And essentially what I want to do is I want to find all of my script files and apply this file pattern to each and every one of those to see if it matches. Mm-hmm. So first off, where are my script files? So they're in this www root lib folder. So I first need to know where the heck that is.
Yep.
That's my first goal. Well, I happen to know that in my dependency injection container, I have something called the iHosting environment. Mm-hmm. So in vNext, ASP.NET 5, in ASP.NET 5, you can kind of pull in pretty much any dependency via either constructor or via a property. For tag helpers, it's just a property. Mm-hmm. So you can do this by doing property iHosting environment. Hosting environment. And then next, I need to say that I want to take something in from DI. Mm-hmm. So I'll just decorate this with an activate attribute.
Cool.
So when this tag helper is constructed, I will now have a hosting environment available. And if you don't like this public property, you can make this private. It's one of the niceties that it's kind of hidden, but yep. I like to do it.
Yep.
So if I look at my hosting environment, I now have a web root here. So that is the file location.
Cool.
Of that beautiful folder. So I'll do var web root is equal to this. Let's capture it. Why not? And next, we want to find all the files. So I'll do var files is equal to directory.enumerate files. And it's pretty simple here. I'll do web root, and I'm going to do this slash lib. Mm-hmm. And then search pattern, getting pretty simple.
Yep.
File pattern. Search options, and I want to recurse through all the directories.
Yep.
Because in this case, I have I don't have inner directories here, but I potentially want to have that ability.
Well, you're looking through all of lib right now.
Yes.
So you actually have to look through all of the subdirectories to
absolutely.
Get into this.
Thank you very much. Yes, because by default, I'd only find this references.js, and yeah. I don't think that'd be that useful to be using in any of your projects.
Exactly.
So we have our files now. Now, I don't want all of my files that match my file pattern, because what happens in this situation? If I look over here, I have this.
Yes.
So let's just validate this assumption first off. So I'm going to put a breakpoint right here, and I'm going to run. And I'll just go over to my login page, and we should be able to see that we have three files that match our pattern. We have the regular jQuery validate, and the two other minified version and non-minified versions of. Validate unobtrusive, I believe.
Unintrusive, yep.
Yes. So if I go over here, I can see that I now have, let's see how many files we got. Three files. And we really don't want these last two.
Well, you do want one of the last two.
We do, but we don't want both of them.
No, because that would be a waste of bandwidth.
That would be a very big waste of bandwidth. So this is where the power of link comes to save us. Now, I'm going to copy in a rather large link statement here.
All right.
For my handy dandy scratch pad. And I'll minify it, or I'll make that solution explorer go away. And here, what I'm doing is I'm looking through all my files. I'm grouping them by essentially JS. It doesn't matter if they're minified JS, regular JS. Yep. I'm essentially replacing all that with .js.
Yep.
I'm then ordering each one of those pairs by their length. So in the case for the unobtrusive JavaScript, the unobtrusive one will be up, the minified version will be up top, and the unminified will be on the bottom, because minified is, of course, longer than the non-minified version. And then I'm taking the first one.
Yep.
So I'm essentially just, I'm optimizing, so I'll always take the minified version one if it's there. And in your own way, if you want to make this special and, say, abide by an attribute, you can do that. That's just fine. If you want to have it go by the environment, like, are you in development? Are you in production? Mm, could also cool. do that. For now, this does what we need.
Another cool feature to this for people that want to take this example and extend it is you can go and say, I need a CDN version or I need the local version, which is kind of.
So we actually, it's funny that you say that, because we do have a script tag helper that we're looking to write as one of our MVC tag helpers.
Nice.
And that is one of the things that we plan to support for.
Well, it's important because it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I want the local one for development so I can just debug locally.
Yep.
And I don't need to be connected to the internet. because I run into that all the time.
Oh, all the time.
And then when you do, you know, deploy it to production or whatever, you want to make sure that you're using the CDN ones, so, you know, people are, you know, being cached by the browser already, things along those lines, just to speed up that page load.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes, there's a lot of really cool things you can do with scripts, script tags, style tags. It's funny, we just had an MVP summit a few weeks ago, and Jeff Ritz, fantastic guy. He was showing me how he was basically automatically adding some libraries to a page by targeting the head tag and then appending scripts to it just by on that basis of he did at add tag helper my library. Cool. So it was kind of nice and kind of removing the need to provide those script tags and those style tags, because the idea was, oh, I did at add tag helper. Mm-hmm. I want them in there.
Cool.
So it's a lot of kind of ability to improve this stuff. All right, so next we have the script format, so let's add this. Oh, let's use our handy-dandy drop-down here. I'll do a read-only field. And that, what does a script tag look like? Script, SRC, that looks about right, if I've ever seen a script tag. Looks nice. Yeah, so the last part here is we're going over each one of those file names and we're building a script tag for it.
Cool. One other thing you could do for the browser is make sure it's typed to text JavaScript.
Text JavaScript, you're absolutely right. That would be actually a nice little thing. So that type text/JavaScript.
Yep.
Very good point. Fantastic. All right. So now we need to add these script tags to our content. So again, we need to go up here, say how we want to use our content. So this time, let's do, I think this is actually another situation where we want to replace. And the reason why is, ultimately, we don't want that superscript tag to be there at all.
No.
We just want to render its contents. So we want to replace. This could be, it could be append, it could be prepend, doesn't really matter. It's up to you.
Well, in this example specifically, we're not looking at the content, so modify doesn't make sense.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's no need for it. It's kind of funny because the script tag helper itself, kind of the superscript tag helper, ends up being more or less a helper tag, which kind of fades away when it's eventually rendered.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
Cool.
And that being said, actually, I should go ahead and set the tag name equals to null before I forget, because again, we don't want it to render, right? Yep. All right, so last, our content will be string.join, and we'll do environment.newline. Mm-hmm. Let me just scroll down here to put this in the center of the screen. And I'll do script tags. So I'm going to join each script tag by a new line. Pretty simple. Mm. All right, so we have our superscript tag here. We have the rest commented out. So I'll go ahead and run this. And we're going to see if we're able to generate our script tags.
Cool.
So this should be pretty nice. We'll be able to tell that we're generating them based on the odd spacing that they have, because we didn't do any tabs by any means. So if I go here and I hit Control U, a nice shortcut to see source, and I scroll down to the bottom, I should see this oddly spaced script tag. So we've now added a file pattern script tag to really make our development process easy. And I could go through all the other pages that were using the same thing and replace them page by page.
Yeah, that's really, really nice, because you see here, you know, the ordering did happen, so the min one did come out on top, which is brilliant.
Yep.
You don't have to have it on every single page.
No.
And if you actually start bringing more jQuery validate, or if it's just jQuery star.
Yes, exactly.
And now, you know, starts to pull. So as your project grows and you have all these additional dependencies, you don't have to go and change that code anymore because it's dynamically generating.
It does. It just, all that magic for you. And I wanted to end with this because tag helpers are really powerful.
Yep.
And we've seen their power, especially with integrating with MVC, being able to take something like ActionLink and change it into an anchor tag. Yep. Like, oh my goodness, there's a lot of capability here. We're doing a script tag like this and making it file pattern based. It's very limitless. We'd love to see what users could do, see what they're capable of, and building some really unique solutions.
Yeah, and that's the big call to action to everyone out there is, you know, once you do get a hold of this, it's available today. Just go out, get ASP.NET 5.
Yep.
Try out Visual Studio 2015 because it's looking awesome.
Oh, amazing.
Lots of great new features as well. So that's definitely worth giving a shot. And yeah, once you get something up and built, you're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. So if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I am actually, so at ntaylormullen.com, feel free to tweet me. I'm pretty responsive. So I'd love to hear your feedback. See if you loved it, hated it. like to do more with it.
Excellent.
I'm very open-eared.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This is definitely going to be very powerful. I can see it like right now, and especially, you know, if you guys are going to go out and build that awesome script tag helper that helps, you know, be a little bit more cloud ready, or even just not even cloud ready, just available for, you know, nice online, offline debug scenarios.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again. Thanks again to all you for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next time here on Webcams TV.